biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to think about shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. The Fan, Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, I'm not going to give the guy's name out. You can go find it if you want to chase him down. But I do like what some people had called him. He's the great value Jake Paul. And if you haven't seen the video, you have a Ravens fan after the game. Somebody's recording, walks up, punches a Commanders fan in the face, hits another one. Two guys about half his size. Then he flexes for the camera. I mean, this is uncalled for on so many levels. And this isn't like, you want to be a tough guy, you want to play the tough guy role. Yeah. Who do you go pick on? Who do you go bully? I hate bullies. You've embarrassed your family. You've embarrassed yourself. You've embarrassed the city of Baltimore. Nobody's condoning that. Now everybody's talking about, oh, is that what you're going to get every time you go? And I know one person doesn't decide how the whole fan base is, but they can be perceived that way from outside of it. And from what I've read, he's already lost his job. And you lose more when you do stupid things. If you are on video and you post it online, they will find you. Remember the crazy girl from Wedding Crashers?
Yeah.
I will find you. That's what they do every single time. And again, like, you know, we talked about this earlier. People want to go out and enjoy themselves. Why can't a guy go wear his Commander's jersey to the game, have some fun ribbing you back and forth, and not worry about getting jumped going to his car, getting sucker punched? It's just BS. We shouldn't have. We're not animals. We shouldn't have to live this way. And then you see, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
He got everything he deserved.
Great value, more. Jake Paul.
Unbelievable, man.
And the guy recording, too. You're a coward. Both of you. And everybody high-fiving him. You guys are douchebags.
His followers, his yup men. Yup. You're right. Unreal. Didn't the background of this guy got kicked out of some schools and all this stuff?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's real. Everything on the social media, some guy posted he went to school with him. He's been kicked out of 3 private schools. He comes from money. A lot of people saying because he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, nothing's going to happen to him. Look, he already got fired. And I'm sure, like, the insurance firm or company that he was working for, they've already gotten so many messages over. People were giving them 1-stars. And they're like, please stop. We didn't do anything. We just, yeah. Like, and I don't know that you should be doing that. You're trying to get the firm's attention or his job's attention, but this is what happens now. Yeah. You've got social, you do something stupid and it's posted online. You got social media warriors that will find every single thing out.
I want to give my shovel to Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
This was my other one.
Listen to this guy from yesterday.
Mr. Lurie and I talk every time after the game. Every time I haven't talked to him yet today. I know how supportive Mr. Lurie has been through everything. I would say this about that. You know, what I was really doing, I was trying to bring energy yesterday, energy, enthusiasm yesterday. And I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And you know, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, you know, that's, you know, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time.
Shut up. This is after Sunday, him being upset with Eagles fans for booing him.
After because, a tight game where they barely beat a
bad football game. A bad football game.
But Jalen Hurts, top.
Jalen Hurts saved you behind. The guy that you were beefing with last summer. Nick Sirianni, it seems like to me he's on borrowed time.
Who sat down and taught him the word energy that he decided to use it 17 times in a post-game press conference? You're a jackass. And there's a couple things.
He's a jackass.
I'm not even mad at him. We need to get past this point where, like, there's this whole thing. You got to be bigger than the other person. Sometimes you're in an emotional state after a game. Some things went on. Somebody says something. You're going to react. I don't even have a problem that he reacted to the fan, even though people are telling me he's got to be bigger than that. I have a problem with you BSing me in this post-game press conference.
Yeah.
my energy. I just tried to bring energy. What energy? Why did we need energy after the game was over?
There was plenty of energy. You were trying to change the energy. The energy was booing you. The energy was firing Sirianni.
I think it was.
And you had a problem with that.
Damian Woody on ESPN was like, "What the hell is this guy talking about? Yeah. You sound like an idiot. It's just phony." Sorry, Eagles fans don't like him.
Let's go to Buffalo Zoe, who has a shovel. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you. Big win.
So, my shovel goes out to a very special family member of mine, my cousin DJ Voice, who called in on me last weekend. So, the shovel is basically because I didn't text or call or say anything to him when the Ravens was on a losing streak. Then I wake up this morning, and of course I get the text 11:30 last night. Y'all barely beat the Jets and all this. Come on, man. What is that for? Like,
hey, Zoe, I'm taking exception to your actions right now.
Why?
Because your cousin called in days ago.
Yeah, last week.
Last week, and you waited till your team won before you responded.
Oh, see that?
See, Zoe, I'm calling Zoe. So, no, Zoe, you should have called in either that day or the next day to speak your piece.
Oh, no.
You waited for your team to win.
I called them personally. and said, why would you lie on air?
I'm on Team Zoe, and you know Officer Blue Ball reached out to us, right?
He did.
Hey, man, shout out to Officer Blue Ball, man. I love it.
Hey, Zoe, have a good one, man.
You too.
All right. Yeah, man.
Now I'm forgetting. Is it Officer or Trooper? Or no, Trooper was who pulled me over.
Right. Officer. Officer.
I'm not trying to be like, you know, I'm just trying to get
this politically
down.
Correct.
I'm trying to get it down.
Law enforcement politically correct.
Well, because I don't know what offends certain people.
You don't want to go out and have a trooper waiting for you for calling him officer.
Negative. Hell, my grandfather was a custodian. Don't you dare call him a janitor.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
What's up, man?
Man, I'm just sick of just inconsiderate, ignorant people. Like, when I be in bus shelters, like catching a bus or the light rail, they be inside the little shelter smoking, spitting on the ground. It's just disgusting, man. People are just ignorant at times, man.
I was in one of those bus things out in San Francisco, and there was a dude eating an entire birthday cake. Like, it was a homeless guy that had just, I don't know where he got it from. It was like a cake from Giant with nobody's name on it. And that's what he had, and he was just eating it with his hands. And I'm looking at my wife like, I don't think we should be sitting here, because if he decides to get hands, you're out of control.
We want to wipe his hands.
He's just eating a whole cake.
That wouldn't bother me, yeah, man.
Unless he gave you a piece.
What are they smoking, weed?
No, they smoking cigarettes, but I'm saying it's blowing right in my face. Which you don't supposed to smoke in the bus shelters, the bus stops, and then he's spitting on the ground right next to me, man. I almost got into it, man.
Hey,
I was in a great mood. I was getting ready to go to the tailgate party Sunday morning.
You know what ruins a good mood more than anything else? Other people.
Exactly.
Other people ruin a good mood more than anything else, man. Piss me off.
Yeah. Just takes one.
That's all it takes. 410-583-1057 is the number. Going to take a look at the Ken Palm rankings for college basketball at 7:30. I love it. Joe's stacking college athletics. What? You got it, Joe.
What about his dumbass text? Like, hey, you guys want to talk college hoops? What?
I wanted to say, did you just meet us?
Do we want to talk college hoops?
College football recap up next on The Fan. Big college football weekend. Jeremy, it seems like the college football playoffs, people were concerned it would take away from the regular season. I think it's added to the regular season, honestly, because now teams can still be alive with a loss or two.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. Like, you know who the top-tier teams are. I think the expansion of the playoffs allows some others to get in, the ones that people always scream about not getting in. So you'll have that opportunity now. It doesn't mean you're going to get in, because I don't care if you went undefeated in some small conference that means nothing, you know, like if we're going to look at some dominant years from the SEC or Big Ten, whatever. But yeah, so Alabama's lost. Now,
Alabama should have lost again on Saturday. Well, I'm sorry. Could have gone into overtime.
Yeah. South Carolina screwed some things up at the end of that, but played well, but Alabama now some questions about them.
But they'll still get in the playoffs. Will Oklahoma get into the playoffs?
No, they're not good. They have offensive line issues. Their defense, they have one of the better defenses in college football, but you won't know it because they struggle so much on offense and they leave those cats out to dry all the time. So I don't think there's any shot Oklahoma's getting in. And the more and more I watch them, I think Texas is the best team in college football.
What was Will, the Ohio State quarterback there? Oh, Will Howard.
Mm-hmm.
What was he thinking on that last play?
I don't know. I thought it was ingenious, though, by the Ducks there, because if you saw it, they took a penalty on purpose. They left 12 men on the field.
Right.
So they would run the play, hurry up, get back there, tackle the guy. You run 4 seconds off, so then they only have one shot. They don't have a shot to get it down, spike the ball, and get a field goal at that point in time to win the game. So some gamesmanship there, but I don't know what he was looking for. That was a fun game. Bad outcome if you're an Ohio State fan,
though. Yeah, horrible outcome. And LSU Ole Miss was a tremendous game, worth every second of my time.
Yeah, look, I thought that this weekend had some really, really good college football games. And I know people are always looking at the upsets and those things, but you get some of these games that come down to the wire. Hell, you know, as much as I like to bash Colorado because I don't think they're very good, they played well against Kansas State. They lost. They've got the big part of their schedule coming up where they're going to face a lot of tough teams, and that'll decide whether or not. I think they do get bowl eligible. But again, that was a fun game, depending on which side you were on.
Yeah, and Notre Dame looked strong against Stanford. Do you put anything into that?
Stanford. Not really. I mean, we had the guy last week call about Army and Navy.
Yeah.
Could they knock off Notre Dame? Army's interesting. Army's really good, but they're not facing the caliber of opponent that Notre Dame is week in and week out.
Kansas State takes Colorado 31-28.
Yeah, again, that was a fun game to watch if you guys stayed up late.
I did.
And, you know, I thought there were some good things there. Avery Johnson for Kansas State. The issue with Colorado is they absolutely, without a doubt, cannot stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, that leads teams to being able to close out the game, converting first downs late, and even sometimes, because you're so bad at the run, possibly running in that 40 or 50 yard touchdown that you're not expecting at the end of the game. So,
yeah, like DJ Giddens, what did he have, 190 yard rushes or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's just their run
182, defense, 25 carries, 182.
And they were coming off a bye week, I believe.
Yeah. But Snow Sanders, another great game. He had 388, three touchdowns.
He's good. Really good. He's going to be a top five pick, maybe number one overall.
Let's go to Tillman Oliver and Jay. What's up, Jay?
Good morning, man. Hey, remember 3 years ago I was telling you boys about Dylan Gabriel when he was at UCF and then he transferred to whatchamacallit, Oklahoma or whatever, and now he's at Oregon?
Yeah.
This boy is setting records, man. This kid is – he's phenomenal. And then when you were talking about the coach at Oregon when he called that penalty on purpose, Rob, just like in basketball, when you want to stop the clock and foul somebody that's in trouble, you do it on purpose. And that coach, that was the smartest thing he could have done.
Hey, first of all, Dylan Gabriel, love him. What, 341 on Saturday? I like the guy. He is a tremendous talent. He can throw the ball. He has what they like to call arm talent. He's a senior because he's been around a lot. You know, 6 footer guy. But
I don't know what he has on the next level.
That's what I'm about to say. I don't know what he will be on the next level. That takes nothing away from what he's doing now, Jay. I just don't know if he's Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, look, I remember everybody thought it was Roman Gabriel's son, and it's not.
Right.
But Dylan Gabriel, if you watched him at UCF slinging the football, Oklahoma, the same thing, and then now he's in an offense that's going to cater to him. So he has a chance to have a really good season. Oregon right now is the front runner to win that conference, to win the Big Ten and move on.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Any team surprise you over the weekend?
Kentucky surprised me. I thought Vanderbilt would lay a huge egg, and I know it's not a team that people are looking at going, oh, Kentucky, but it was just one of those spots where you went, okay, this is a really good chance for them to just kind of throttle this team that's coming off this emotional win. And to Vanderbilt's credit, man, they hung around. They did everything they were supposed to do. I shouldn't even say hung around. They pulled away. Kentucky had opportunities up and down the field, just didn't get it done. Maryland, super disappointing Friday night against Northwestern. Coming off a bye, you can't have a game like that. And their defense just looked like they couldn't stop anything that night for whatever reason. It's not like Northwestern's offense scares you either.
For me, I know they're ranked high, but they still surprised me. Penn State, I mean, we've seen Penn State win a lot of beauty pageants with no substance. They look to be a team of substance right now. Going out to USC, beating USC 33-30.
That was a fun game.
It was a fun game. It was. But they showed me that their team was some substance.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had USC. It was funny. They were +3.5, and by the time I got to the book, it was 3. So it ended up being a push. But that's a trouble spot. I mean, you're the number 4 team in the country, and you got to go all the way out west, and you're only a 3-point favorite against USC. Yeah. When you look at who they've played and going, okay, they're okay, but this shouldn't happen. It is a contrast of styles, but once Penn State's offense got going, it wasn't really like USC had an answer for it. It's just that they'd gone tit for tat and kept the game close and had opportunities there.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, we're right around the corner from college basketball season, folks. And when we return, we'll take a look at the 2024-25 KenPom rankings of college basketball. Baltimore Sports Talk Radio on the Fan. 7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida taking care of the home front as the hurricane did a little more damage than he expected originally. Jeremy, what do you think about these KenPom rankings?
Well, look, I mean, beginning of the season makes it difficult because you're trying to figure out what new additions, all the recruits that were brought in, the type of impact they can have, guys that are staying. Like, for example, I actually had a conversation with Bob Haney walking out yesterday from our show, and we were just talking about Purdue, and he's like, were you there for that? Purdue? It was just like, hey, they're going to find another big white dude right there in the middle.
Oh, yeah,
Braden Smith is back, their point guard, who is just fantastic. Can't wait to see if that kid ends up playing on the next level, because I think he should. And then, of course, I think there's going to be a lot of talk of Duke and people wanting to see Cooper Flagg. But there's some real talent out there. As much as we talk about, we talked a ton about women's basketball this year in college, and they deserved it, the talent that's there, and there's going to be people that are going to be, Juju's going to carry that torch, and all the kids coming into UConn and South Carolina. But with college basketball, there's a lot of new faces and new places and people moving from here to there. And college basketball is a little bit different, where you only got to spend 1 year and then you can go.
Now, KenPom rankings, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, I like this one explanation. The purpose of the system is to show how strong a team would be if they played tonight, independent of injuries or emotion factors, since nobody can ever see a team overall of all of their games. This system is designed to give you a snapshot of a team's current level of play. That's what KenPom is all about.
So, and this isn't me dismissing KenPom, because I think it's phenomenal. I like it more after we've had about 8 to 10 games.
Right.
And granted, even those games still aren't telling you enough. You have some tournaments early on. But as you look at his rankings, it's kind of hard to argue the teams he has up top
with what
they have returning.
Top 10, Purdue number 10, Gonzaga, Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Connecticut, Alabama, Auburn, Duke, and Houston. It seems like to me, like Alabama and Auburn have been around a lot lately.
New coaching that got there, and then they've implemented a style that's fun to watch. A little bit more aggressive on the Auburn side, and a little bit more run and gun on the Bama side.
Yeah.
Those teams are fun. And I go back to this last year. I didn't think anybody was beating Houston. Houston was so good. They have their one hiccup and they lose, but also had some injuries as well that hurt.
Right.
That team's loaded. I mean, they have a freshman there that came back, and I think he's going to be a lottery pick next year. The reason he comes back is he's one of those guys that's a total project, but you can see it's going to work out. Yeah.
And for those of you wondering, and KenPom, most of you are wondering, Maryland is 37th in the KenPom rankings. I'm not upset with that.
No. I've been hearing good things about Queen.
60-something teams go to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
If they're 37th.
Well, that's your expectation for Maryland this year should be to get into the tournament, hopefully to win a game or two. Look, I think once they get in, you let the chips fall where they may, and then next year's the year you're hoping you take that next big step forward. But we really get to see what type of coach Kevin Willard is with bringing in his own guys, and I think that's a good thing.
I don't want to ask this out loud, but Michigan State is 35th at KenPom. How long for Izzo?
I think he goes out on his own terms, though, right?
They don't think.
Like, he had...
Explain something to you before you go down that road. I saw Florida State turn the headphones off when Bobby Bowden won the game. So I don't put anything past anybody anymore.
I think it's a little bit different with Michigan State basketball and Tom Izzo because he put him on the map.
So did Bobby Bowden.
Fair enough. I mean, but I don't know that Izzo is going to be at Bobby's age wanting to hang on at that point because it has to come to a point where he wants to go home to his family. Like, his kid just graduated and played. So now I don't know if he has any more kids coming through that system. I don't think so. But, you know, like, he has such a grip on college basketball. Devin Booker just came there and gave everyone Michigan State his own shoes with Michigan State colors. And Booker was like, I always wanted to go here. Well, you went to Kentucky. Why didn't you go to Michigan State if you always wanted to go there? But that being said, I think Izzo's one of those guys that's constantly bringing in talent, bringing in his own guys. He gets to do it his own way because he does it right.
I don't know why people think these guys want to go back home. I don't know why people think these families want these guys back home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where are you guys getting it from? And the wife be, get out. Go back to work.
Yeah. I saw somebody post a picture of Urban Meyer. It says, do you miss me? After Jacksonville lost on Sunday. No, we don't. They can find another coach that can be just as bad as you. In fact, they have
he
one right now.
He posted that, really?
No, he didn't. Somebody posted
it. Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I don't think he's that, you know,
I think he is.
Brash.
To post, I think he is.
Like
that's
that.
Your boy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was.
He was. I loved him, man.
I hated him. I never liked him. I never liked him. I didn't trust him. I thought he was full of crap, and he turned out to be that guy.
I felt like the dude in Anchorman when Ron Burgundy said the dirty words on the air. He's like, you're a poop mouth. Ron, you poop mouth. That's what I felt about. Once I heard Urban Meyer was just this disgusting of a human being,
right.
I'm like, man, he's a really good offensive mind. Nah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
A terrible person.
Going back to this Ken Pom top 10, give me a team, in your opinion, that when it's all said and done, they don't belong top 10. Purdue, Gonzaga, Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, UConn, Alabama, Auburn, Duke, Houston. That's going to be tough.
It's tough because most people are going to want to flock to Iowa State, and I think you're dead wrong there.
Yep.
Those are all legit top 10 teams.
I go to Purdue, and I know that's a cheap way out because they're number 10, but if I had to pick a team that did not belong, it would be them.
I think I would go Gonzaga, but they're going to be there because they're the conference they're in and who they play. Can I go? Can I go Alabama and say? I mean, that's they're so fast and so fun. They don't play a lot of defense. That's tough.
Well, defense is optional.
Yeah. So I mean that's. I feel like all those teams are going to be around there, and is it nitpicking if Purdue comes in and they're number 13? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm not nitpicking the top 10 right now.
Okay.
I mean, you know, if that's the case, then we just say top 5. But then is it nitpicking and they end up number 7?
What if I threw Kansas in there? Kansas was a disappointment last year.
Okay. You can do Kansas. Do what you want. Do what you like.
I don't want to take any of those teams because I like them. I think when you get to the next tier is when you can start poking holes at 11 through 20. I don't know how good Villanova is going to be. We have to see what A&M is going to look like. Cincinnati lost one of the best players in the country. So are they just reloading? Cincinnati's they're a dangerous team, too. Nobody ever talks about them, but I wouldn't want to play them in the tournament.
And for those of you Maryland fans, November 4th at home, Maryland against Manhattan. That's when Maryland tips off the regular season, November 4th.
Is it the Hilltoppers?
Manhattan Hilltoppers. No, Hilltoppers, I thought, was Western Kentucky. Hockey. Hilltoppers for Manhattan?
I'm trying to think what their mascot was. Is that good?
It begins with a J, I think.
Jaspers?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Hilltoppers?
That's Western Kentucky. Shut up, Rob. You don't know.
Hilltoppers for Manhattan.
You didn't know? There ain't no hills in Manhattan.
That's my
All right.
point. What is it?
But they're on top of it. It's Jasper's, man.
Ken McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock. Jeremy's being extra spicy over there. But on the other side, do you support Tua returning to football this season? Some of you may say never. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
They've continued to be positive. There's still information that he's seeking this week. And as far as timelines go, I know he's not playing this week, and I do expect to see him playing football in 2024, but where that is exactly, we'll let the process continue since we still have time before he even could entertain anything. So we'll make sure that he's diligent this week and assess after that.
You know, Mike McDaniel sounds like he is in the middle of passing the blunt as he's talking.
I was just going to say, I think he's hitting the vape pen at the podium.
You know, wait.
Actually cut out like 10 seconds of ums, uhs, you knows.
Jeremy, I think Tua's going to go up.
Yeah, that's what
he's going to play at some point this year.
See, he's such a brilliant offensive mind, and I just don't know that he's going to be the great coach this time around that everybody wants, because, look, he proved to you that he could put up huge numbers with Tua in an offense, but everybody keeps getting hurt. Their defense stinks. How do you expect him that, like, he's not going to succeed? And I don't know about the Tua stuff. I can't tell the guy not to come out. I would forcibly make them, make me retire, because I'm not giving up all that money. I'm not. And people can say what they want. I get it. Like, I'm not giving up that money.
So you would go out there and put yourself in more danger?
Or I would go on the physically unable to perform list if that's something
just stay there for a while.
Yeah. Like, my head ain't right. You ain't. Look, man, if. The same thing. Remember when people were like, why didn't Chris Davis just quit? I'll tell you why. All that money. That's why. I mean, it's a lot of money that Tua got. And people were talking about, like, I heard Manti Te'o. He was up there, tears in his eyes because they're childhood friends and grew up together, saying he didn't want him to play anymore. And I think it's okay to say you don't want somebody to play anymore, but you can't tell him
not to play anymore
what he's going to do. You can suggest whatever you want, but he's going to do what's best for him and what he wants to do. And that may be playing football more, which, from the looks of it, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I'd rather him not play again, too. It's just, and not because I dislike the guy. I mean, I see it getting ugly. That looks like it could really, really end ugly.
Well, because we've seen him laid out. And it goes back to, was that a Thursday night game against the Bengals? I think it was, where he just got annihilated and his head hit the turf.
Yes.
And they talk about the way that your body is, like, the way your hands go. It's almost like you're throwing up gang signs or something. You can't control. Like, he's looked that way three times now in a short period of time. So, again, do I think he's talented enough to play in this league? Yes. Do I think you could win with him? Yes, from what I've seen from him from an offensive standpoint.
No.
But he can't stay healthy, and that's an issue. And his health is different. It's his head. You can't see the injury to his brain. You can't. So we get into this. You
can't open it up.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, again, he's going to tell you, too, if he's any type of, you know, the type of athlete, and maybe you were one of them, maybe you weren't, but by God, like, my body's breaking down now because I was so stupid when I played. And, you know, it's hard to keep guys. I've heard about guys that go through the concussion test, and when you want to get your baseline, they screw up the baseline. So when they get into the tent and they're doing a concussion test or they do that again, that it doesn't show up, that you can't see the difference because they screwed up the first time. I hope that makes sense for people. You get your baseline test, kind of tell you where you can't keep these guys off the field. They're modern day gladiators, and they want to go out there and play as much as they can.
So do you believe in that you can't protect them from themselves, or you can? Because we live in a society that, you know, especially our government, tries to protect us from ourselves.
Well, let me give you the situation here. You're Mike McDaniel. You've seen your backup quarterbacks. They clear Tua. He wants to play. Are you letting your guy play? Yes, because you are directly correlated with him in winning and trying to get to the next level, get to the next year, hopefully get an extension, which I don't think any of that's going to come down for him.
So let me ask you this. Is it Mike McDaniel? Is it his responsibility to look out to his best interest if Tua's cleared? Nah, if he's cleared, he's nothing he can do.
There's none, if he wants to play.
There's nothing he can do.
I mean, he can sit down and talk with him.
Let me stop that question before.
Well, because McDaniel's already had conversations with him where it appears that Tua wants to play. He wants to keep going. So that's a tough thing to try to talk a guy out of, too. And, oh, by the way, if he's doing the right thing, he's probably hurting himself by talking him out of playing.
Yeah.
I get it from all fronts here, and some people being upset over, like, man, I've seen him. He can't get back out there. God forbid. Somebody wrote on social media, the Dolphins don't have the balls if they don't do a fake handoff and have Tua just a design run on the first play. Just let everyone know he's back. And then Tyreek Hill said, well, who's quarterback in the next play then? Because meaning, like, when you see him get hit, you're wondering if he's going to get back up.
Right. Yeah. It's a slippery slope, man.
Now, have they? So here's the other part.
Get to the point where he actually gets cleared, though.
All right, let me go over the landscape in the NFL, especially in the AFC here, because All right, if you're a coach here, the Miami Dolphins are 2-3 and in second place behind the 4-2 Bills.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as their season has been, if they get Tua back, they can still make the playoffs. It's a very tough situation to be in, and I think if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm passing the buck to my player to decide what he wants to do. And I don't know if that keeps me free and clear in my mind. Like, did I screw this guy up? Mm-hmm. Did I push him off to this? But this is the league we're in. These are adults that get to make decisions. You're not coddling, you know, high school and college players here at this point.
Right.
It's his decision.
It's tough. 410-583-1057 is the number. Hubie in Baltimore has a Ravens question. What's up, Hubie?
Hubie doobie doo.
I guess we don't have Hubie.
Hello.
What's up, Hubie? We got you now.
Yeah, I like to compliment the offensive and defensive line for the Ravens from this week. And also, I like to compliment John Harbaugh. It seemed like he was using the headset a little more, collaborating with Orr on defense and whoever else might be up in the booth. Looked like he was a little more engaged this week. And it was just a it was just an all-out effort from everybody and a great victory, man.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that.
No question. I mean, look, it was one of those games, too. We talked about this yesterday, where after the game's over, we send in who's our MVP for the game, our up, you know, who do you want to acknowledge, our down, what went wrong. And Rob picked the first down, and I went, what? I kind of felt like they dominated this game. Like, I could sit here and pile on the secondary if you want.
Right.
But I just thought Jaden Daniels made some really nice throws that made them look. I'm not telling you the secondary was great by any stretch. But as I watched the game, I really did think it was a dominating performance where they only won by one touchdown.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it would be a dominating performance where they won by 10. But I think it still was. No one ever had that. I never thought felt like the Commanders had an opportunity to win that game.
I didn't think they could stop them. The Ravens, one punt, and then, of course, the goofy interception to start the game. I just felt like they were going to have whatever they want to go down and get 3 or 7 on any given occasion.
That was not a catchable ball, by the way.
Which one? The
goofy interception. That wasn't a catchable ball.
I want to go back and watch it because I'm usually on the receiver side on this.
I don't think it was a catchable ball. That ball was out of reach.
I'm going to look it up again.
I thought he did a great job getting his hands on it, which turned out not to be a great job.
I don't think you know.
Jacob Calvert-Meyer joins us at 9 o'clock to talk some Orioles baseball, but on the other side, Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. She was on Ken's Mind today on The Fan.